Welcome back to Silverlight TV. I'm John Papa, Silverlight Evangelist at Microsoft, and I've got a return guest, Janet Perez of the Expression Team.
Hi.
Well, one of the Expression Teams we have here. Mm-hmm. So last time on Silverlight TV, previously as seen on Silverlight TV, mm-hmm. you did a great demonstration of getting started with Sketchflow. Mm-hmm. So the users have given us some feedback now, these fictitious users up there. And they said they like what you've got, but we want to see some navigation, some more interactivity. Mm-hmm. We don't really understand what the Friends page is going to look like, and you break it into a detailed view for us. And we really need to see some data. Can you hook it up to a real live database for us?
We're going to go ahead and use sample data for this demo. So
that'll work. They'll never know.
And we'll use behaviors. We're going to add some states, a little bit of transitions, and just definitely take our existing initial comps and evolve our prototype into more interactive and rich.
And it's still a prototype. This is not. Yes. We're not going out of Sketchflow. We're still using Sketchflow.
Right. We're still in a Sketchflow project. So we'll be adding all of this to our.
I'll let
prototype.
You get to work.
Excellent. Okay. So as you recall, we set up what we're building here is we're building a Facebook application for a Windows Phone 7 device, and so we have our initial, our Chrome here, our initial screen, and then we have a login page. And then we have a home screen that the user can then navigate to their profile, their photos, and friends. And we have the additional screens down here connected to the home screen. And so now we have the structure, the flow, and we've also published our prototype. So we've gotten a bit of feedback. My boss and my coworker have provided a bit of feedback about the current state of the prototype. And so now we can start evolving this and adding a bit more content. And so. The first thing that we're going to do is we're going to take this login screen here. And so currently all it has is this magical button that does something. Doesn't really have a whole lot of UI there.
Right.
So what we're going to do is we're going to get rid of that button. And we're going to come here to our assets panel. And we're going to use a mock-up. And so this mock-ups are basically they're a part of a sample here. If you go to the welcome screen, we have the mock-up demonstration sample. And it basically shows you how you would incorporate some of these mock-ups that we've created in one of your projects. And so, for example, here we have a media mock-up, media player mock-up. And so what it basically is it's just a control here that has a bit of UI that you might need if you have, say, a site with a media player or say down here we have a web browser mock-up. And so these are basically kind of like the building blocks for UI that you
right.
might be building in your prototype. So you can go ahead and use, and we have a wide range of mock-ups here. So
now are they interactive controls or are those just images?
They're just they're actual controls that have actual buttons and stuff, and you can hook up the buttons to add interactivity. So you can add behaviors to them to navigate and those sorts of things. So they're
awesome.
actual controls with components that you can
and they're
add
all part of the samples that come with Blend. So you're
yes.
all set.
Mm-hmm. So you have them included in Blend 4. So what we're going to use is this logon mockup, and we're going to go ahead and just drop it here. And so as you can see, it has the username and password already all set up for us, and we can go in here and we can say, okay, this is Facebook logon.
Can we zoom in just a little bit? Login.
Yeah.
Can we zoom in just a little?
Can we log in a little bit? So there you go. And so now you'll at least have some of the UI so that you actually don't have just this magical
right.
login button. So.
You could have done that on your own, but it mm-hmm. is easier, especially like the web browser one, especially if you use that where you've got several screens
right.
and you want to use that web browser as a mm-hmm. Chrome for each one of them.
Exactly, yeah. So we have these, so that's what these mock-up components are really intended to be, just to be the building blocks for the prototypes.
Right.
And you can also create your own, but we provided you with a set there. So, okay, so now we have a little bit more UI added to our login screen, and now we're going to go back to our start screen, and as you recall, in our last session, we gathered feedback after publishing our prototype to SharePoint, and one of the first things that my boss suggested was that we take this Chrome and we add this Chrome to the other screens. So currently only the start screen has a Chrome, the login and home screen don't have it. And so all this is it's an image that I've added to my screen. And so what I can basically do is I can take this image and I can copy and paste it onto all of the other screens.
Mm-hmm.
But then if I want to make an edit to it, what do I have to do?
Yeah.
I have to you know, go ahead and now replace it on all the screens. And so that's not a very good workflow, and it's
especially
not very efficient.
Especially if you've got 20 screens, that would get
exactly.
old really quick.
Yes, exactly. So what we want to do instead is we want to create a reusable component that we can use throughout our screens and be able to just have to edit once in mm-hmm. one place. So I'm going to go ahead and right-click on my image, and I'm going to say make into component screen. And now I'm going to name that my Chrome screen. And so what this basically does is it creates a slightly different looking screen here. And all it is it's that image just pulled from my screen. And now it's made into a component screen. And it's really just a user control that we're displaying now here in the Sketchflow map. And so now what I can do is I can drag and drop this onto any other screen that I want to use it. So I've dragged it onto my login, my home, and as you can see, it's just appearing right on the design surface.
Right.
Into my profile.
And while the only thing inside that control is the image, mm-hmm. you could add things, like you said, if you wanted to modify what that looks like now or add a button to it or something else, you
exactly.
could do that in that component screen.
Mm-hmm. So now, exactly, so that's what we're going to go ahead and do. So let's go ahead and go to the actual component screen for the Chrome. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to add a couple of buttons there so that we have some navigation to the Chrome as well. So let's go ahead and add. See, here we have a back button. Here we have the search button and the Windows button. And these are kind of I took this Chrome from the emulator that we have for the Windows Phone projects here in Blend. So we're going ahead and just drop that where we want it. That's my back button. Now I have my Windows screen here, and that's just going to take me back home. And then my search button down here. And so let's go ahead and just drop that there. And so now, so now I just have to build my project. So
and you put that in the Chrome component user control.
Mm-hmm. So now I've built this, and now I can see in all my other screens that those changes have been that I made, you know, are propagated down to any use of that component. And so there you have all my other screens are now have these additional buttons that I've added to the Chrome. So really component screens, you can just think of, you know, reusable bits that can be of UI that you can add functionality to and your activity and apply those to various screens.
Sure.
So now what we want to do is we want to add a bit of navigation to these buttons. So that every time that the user clicks on this arrow button, it actually navigates back. And so I can right-click on it and say navigate to, and then say back.
So you not only can navigate to the screens, you can also integrate some of the basic features backwards, forwards.
Mm-hmm. And so now my middle button, I actually want to navigate to a specific screen, so I can right-click, say navigate to, and then go to my start screen. And so what's happening behind the scenes is that we're adding these behaviors to these images. And so let's go to our properties panel. We can select the behavior, navigate back action, and we can see that we can see a little bit of the properties, and it's basically it's triggered on mouse left button down, mm-hmm. and it just navigates back. And then this one, navigate to screen action, again, also triggered on mouse button down, but it actually targets a specific screen. So they're slightly different behaviors. And so we've added navigation, a bit of interactivity to our application without having to have any code. And so this is what behaviors do. And you can see that we provide a variety of behaviors within Blend. So you have we include quite a bit of behaviors, you know, kind of the basic building blocks that we got feedback from people that they said they needed. And so behaviors are really these encapsulated bits of functionality, interactivity, mm-hmm. That you can reuse throughout your project, and you don't have to write code. And so it's kind of the same idea as components, where you know write once and reuse,
right.
And so and you can also add your own. You can go ahead and create a new behavior, and you can actually add your own. You can open it up in Visual Studio and edit it. So you can have a developer, you know, working with a designer. Mm-hmm. Developer writes a behavior, then the designer can use it on the design surface without having to really understand any of the actual bits of functionality behind it. All they have to know is what properties are exposed to them by the developer that they can then, you know, change and edit inside of Blend.
And you can change the events in the source objects by using the properties window over here as well. So.
Exactly, yeah. I can change that to say, you know, I want this to trigger on mouse enter, leave, and so, yeah. So behaviors are really really powerful way of adding interactivity to your application without having to write code.
Behavior is becoming more and more prevalent, too. I noticed in Civil Light TV alone, where it seems like every other episode now we're talking about using behavior in some other topic that we're doing, whether it's Windows Phone or Sketchflow Blend or a large line of business application.
Mm-hmm.
But they're becoming more and more prevalent for taking over redundant tasks.
Right.
Things you do over and over and over again that you can write a little. When we say a little bit of code for behavior, I've written behaviors that are maybe, you know, 50 lines of code.
Right.
But they do quite a bit.
Yeah.
So it's really, really powerful.
Mm-hmm. And so that those are behaviors, and that's just kind of a quick way of using them. And I'm going to go ahead and add a little bit of navigation to my home screen as well, so that I actually have some navigation and interactivity to it. So let's go ahead and I'm going to say that when the user clicks on the My Profile text there, it actually takes them to the My Profile screen.
What a concept.
And when they click on My Photos, we're going to go ahead and navigate to Photos, and then Friends. We'll go ahead and take that to our Friends screen. So there we have it. And now, finally, we'll just add a bit of interactivity to this, to the Logon button here. And I'm just moving my Chrome out of the way so that I have access.
Your Chrome was on top of everything. So you
just changing the Z order of that.
You could see through it, but couldn't do anything.
Exactly. So now let's go ahead and set that button to take me to the home screen. So when the user clicks log on, it actually takes me to the home screen. So there we have it. So now let's go ahead and run this application and be able to test out some of that interactivity that we've added through behaviors without having to write any code ourselves.
And those behaviors wrote XAML in all of your pages. There's actually no code in your code behind for any of those controls, right?
Exactly. So here we have it. So now let's go ahead and go to our login screen. And now let's press the logon button. We've navigated to home. We can go to profile. Now let's use our back button that we added. That takes us back, photos, back, friends. And now we can go back to our start screen. So now we've actually started adding a bit more of interactivity to our prototype, and we've started evolving it so that the user can now actually interact with the actual design surface here and not just the Navigate panel.
So we solved some of the problems the users asked for with navigation and whatnot, with the behaviors and the navigation features, but we still need to add other features they asked for, like show me some data, show me some details.
Some data or details? Okay, so let's go ahead and do that. So we're going to go to our friends list here, our friends screen. And so we're going to, again, move
Because right now
Chrome.
It looks like I have no friends.
Yeah, no friends. So we want to change that. So right now when you're as I'm prototyping, I don't really have a developer that I'm working with at the time that can actually create a data source for me that I can hook up. So what I'm going to do is I still want to be able to design around this data and be able to still customize the way my list box is going to look and how the details view of my friends list is going to look like. So what I'm going to create is I'm going to create sample data. And so sample data you can create on the fly and you can customize as you go. So I'm going to create new sample data. I can also import sample data from a class, so you can actually create, there's a few different ways.
Right, from the class is a great place to do if you have MVVM. Mm-hmm. You've got a view model and you want to import it in and actually use the same model that you've got.
Exactly.
But we're not going to do that here, just mentioning because it was into MVVM.
Yes, the sample data is a very powerful feature and also lots of things that you can do with it. Mm-hmm. So we're going to go ahead and create new sample data and we're going to call it my friends. Sample
I usually
data.
Let mine sample data source, which is horrible to leave it the default name, but I'm glad to see somebody's renaming it.
Yeah. And so what it basically does is it creates this collection of properties here that you can now go ahead and customize. So the various properties that I want for my friends is I want their name. I want to be able to have a photo. What are some of the other things that your friends, maybe you want to know, have their email address.
That works. And something that's nice about this, too, is that if you, some forethought, I guess, which is always nice, prototypes, if you wanted to replace this with real data at some point, matching up with whatever your sample data and your real data is going to look like is advantageous if you have that opportunity.
Exactly.
If you don't, it's not a huge issue. You can change the property names and all that, and it'll fix the bindings, but it's actually just doing data binding.
Exactly. Uh-oh.
Like,
I didn't have it down here. Yeah. Let's add, we're going to add the about me.
Yep.
There we go. Okay, so now we've added quite a few properties here, and now we're going to go ahead and customize this. So
and you've got data types all set up already, right?
Not yet. So that's what we're going to do.
Okay.
So the defaults are usually string and not very helpful. So what we can do is we can go ahead and click on that edit sample values, and we can now go ahead and start customizing. So for our photos, what I want is I want this to be of type image. And then I can actually, I can use the default photos, which are basically
the infamous chairs.
The chairs,
yes.
which are very fancy looking, but we don't want our friends to look like chairs. So we're going to go ahead and select some images of friends that I created. And so we're going to go ahead and select that folder. And so now I have some great looking friends here that I've created.
Little toolbox plug.
Yeah, exactly. So and now I can customize the rest of the other properties as well. So for the phone, I can say that I want this to be of type phone number. For name, again, I can say name here, email address. I want that to look like an actual email address. And it basically adds a bunch of sample values there that you can then go ahead and use. So for address, and the about me is a string, but I want to use about 100 words, and that's about right. So, okay. So now that I have that, so now what I can basically do is I can take so there's two different modes to the data panel for okay. sample data. There's a list mode and a details mode. And in the list mode, basically, as it says there, I can take any of the properties and I can drag it out to the design surface and create a list box. So for now, all I want is the name and the photo. And so now I can drag that out and automatically a list box is created for me. And so I can just...
And it's because you're in a Sketchflow project that it's actually using the sketchy control types.
Exactly. Default. Yeah, by default, I'm using the sketchy style, the sketch style, but you can change that to use the regular list
right.
box style.
And
as
all
well.
These features you're doing in, with sample data work just the same if it was a regular
yes.
Blend project.
Exactly. So now I have my list box here, and let's go ahead and zoom in a bit to it to see it. And so it doesn't look quite the way I want to, so I'm going to go ahead and edit it so that edit the data template so that I can modify the way it actually looks. And so the first thing that I can do is I can take my stack panel, I can change it to be horizontal, I can switch the order of my image and my text box so my image appears first. Now I want my image to be a little bit bigger, so I can take that and make it a little bit bigger. I can take the text box and I can edit the size of my text box to be maybe about 24, there we go. So I've customized a bit. Maybe I want the margins to be a little bit different. Let's see, add a little bit of spacing there, and a little bit of spacing there. So as you can see, you can go ahead and modify that and to get the look and feel that you want for your list box. So there we have it. And so now that I have my list box, what I can basically do is I'm going to add a transition so that when the user clicks on one of the items, the list box transitions out of view, and then I can see a details view of my friends that displays all of the additional information like email address and phone number and all
okay.
of that.
So this will solve both scenarios where we need to see more data about the friends mm-hmm. and also to see details, because you don't want to shove 20 fields inside of each list box.
Exactly. Yeah, you don't want all of your information to appear here. So, and as you recall, this is a Windows Phone 7 app, so really I want it to be readable, I want it to be very clean,
right.
and so we're going to go ahead and, so now what I can do is I can add, I'm going to use the Visual State Manager here to add two different views of this particular screen. So
so we've got the list box highlighted and we're creating some visual states?
Mm-hmm, so at this point, I just have this screen, so these views will be available for this particular screen. I'm going to add a group, and then within that group, I'm going to have a list view, and then I'm going to also add a details view. And so basically what I want to happen is I want this, when something gets selected, I want the list box to kind of transition out of view. And because this is a Windows Phone 7 app, then I want to mimic kind of the perspective 2.5D transitions that you see in some of the demos.
Swivel. Yeah,
the little flip and swivel. So. So let's go ahead and go to my transform panel down here, my property panel.
And while you're doing that, I mean, because another option is to go to a completely separate screen.
Mm-hmm.
We could do that, but we
yeah.
don't have to do that here.
Yeah.
That's why you're going through this.
Exactly. So I'm just going to, instead of having two separate screens for the list and the details view, I'm going to have a transition between them and show how to use states to do to transition between these states.
Right.
So what we want is we want the list box to kind of do that swivel that you see in a perspective swivel that you see in some of the demos for phone apps. And but you see that we want that to be zero because it was a little bit it was a little bit off the rotation.
Right, it starts at the center.
Mm-hmm. So we'll transfer that back to zero. And so now what I want to happen is I want to actually have that transition happen when the details view is selected. So
and you set those other properties while you were selected on base.
On base, yes. So that I just kind of wanted to change the center of rotation.
That's
so that
usually where I screw up, is I'll get so ahead of myself and I'll forget, ooh, I had to reset those, and then all my states are out of whack.
But yeah. So we want to make sure that that the initial any initial properties that you want, you set those at the base state, and now anything that you want to change, mm-hmm. now I can go ahead and, like in this case, I'm going to select the details state. And so now in the details state, that's when I want my list box to go out of view. So I'm going to go ahead and kind of rotate that out of view there. And then and I'm going to set my transition to be 0.75 seconds.
Okay.
Very particular about my transitions. And now I'm going to go ahead and turn on the transition preview. And now I can see the transition between the list view and then the details view.
What's cool about this is you didn't do anything to the list state.
Right.
You just changed the details, but it still transitions to and from those.
Exactly. Yeah. And so there we have that. And now I'm going to go ahead and select my base state again. And I'm going to hide my list box for now so that I can actually create my details view.
Right.
And so for my details view, I'm going to go back to my data panel. And so here in my data panel, again, we have the two modes, the list mode and the details mode. So now I'm going to go to my details mode. And I'm going to go ahead and select all of the various properties, because now I want everything to appear mm-hmm. in my details mode. So I'm going to go ahead and drag those onto the design surface. And so what happens is a grid gets created, as you can see here in the objects and timeline, with all of the various elements. And so
that's the difference between the details mode and the list mode, is it creates a different container
right.
for the data.
Mm-hmm. And so there we have it. So now I can go ahead and I can customize the way I want my details mode to look. So I'm gonna just grab all of that content, scoot it down a bit. I'm gonna expand my grid a bit to take up more space. And scooch down all my items here and move my image up to the top. And now the only thing that I want to appear with the image on top is just the name. And I want it to be the same size as the as what we said in the list view, which was, you may recall, 24. So we'll go ahead and set that to 24. And maybe grow the image a little bit. And move those a little bit down. So you can really, you know, with a little bit more time, really customize the way this looks so that it looks just the way you want it to.
Right.
So there you have your details view. So, okay.
These could be text boxes and mm-hmm. editable forms. That's all available as well.
Exactly. So now what we're going to do is we're going to show the list box again. And so now at the base state, I want my grid of details to be collapsed. So I'm going to change the visibility to be collapsed. So by default, I want the details view to not show up.
So let's take a quick minute to explain, why wouldn't you want to use opacity zero right there?
At that point, I could. I could do mm-hmm. either or. So anything that's going to hide the details view, you can do that, and then it'll just transition in and out. So
right.
for now, I'm just setting it to collapse. And
you know you want it off the whole
completely,
time.
Yeah, yeah, I want it completely off. And so now when I actually go to my details view, so now that the list has already been transitioned out of view, mm-hmm. and so now I'm going to change that just to go back to visible. And so there you'll have in the details state, now I have my grid with all of my details visible. So,
okay.
So that's just kind of a quick, but yeah, you can use opacity, you can do that as well. So now what we want to do is we want to actually add interactivity so you can switch between these states. And so what we're going to do is we're going to add behaviors. And so I'm going to add my activate go to state behavior. So, and so I'm going to drag my go to state, and I'm going to drag that onto my list box. And so now what I want to happen is when the selection is changed, so the event that I want to trigger is on selection changed, I want to navigate to my details state. So there you can specify which state you want to enable. And now, again, I want another go to state action on the header so that the user can navigate back to the list. And so on mouse left button down, I want to navigate back to the list state. So I want to activate that particular state.
So it's not good enough just to make the states. You have to have a way to invoke those. Just like,
Yeah, add a bit of interactivity. And I'll show you through, I'll show you how you can, let's go ahead and run this and see how that works out.
Yeah, and it's a good point because you can, in Blend, preview those with the preview transitions, but it's also good to run it because sometimes.
Exactly.
It's just good to see in the real app.
And so here we have our app again. We can go ahead and navigate to our friends state here, to our friends screen. And now we can select any of those items. And now we can see that the transition occurs where the list box goes out of view. And then I can see the details. And then, and you see that all of that data is actually data binded to the correct item on the list. So my photos updating and all of the content there as well. And I'm clicking back on friends and going back to the main. And so, and actually, that was one of the things that you mentioned was that we had to add that behavior to be able to see the states. And actually, through the player, you can also see the states. So I can just use the navigate. We also expose not just the screens, but any states in this particular screen. And so we can do the same thing of transitioning between the two without having to actually use the artboard. So there's two ways of being able to preview the states.
You could have multiple states, too. You don't have to just do details.
Exactly.
You could have a third, fourth, or however many you need.
Yep.
I see people use states for multiple screens, for example, in a navigation structure as well.
Exactly. So there you have it. So now we've gone through and we've added a bit more of interactivity. We've added some data. We've added more behaviors and some mock-up components so that you'd have a bit more UI. And so now we have kind of a data-driven, interactive, rich prototype that we've taken from beginning to end. And so there you have it.
So in about 20 minutes here, we've added in all the additional feedback they gave us, and they'll be completely happy with the solution, right?
Exactly.
So they could add more feedback if they wanted to, and in that case, back in Blend, you would get the revision number 2 with the user's name and comments and their dates.
Yeah, what you can basically do is just republish your prototype, and now you republish the updated version. People can now, you send that link out to your colleagues, they can comment on the new changes that you've made, and then continue evolving your prototype. And now, finally, the last thing that I'll show you is, one of our favorite things about creating prototypes and, then having them be approved is moving on to the documentation aspect of it so that the production level application can be created. And so what we have is we have an export to Microsoft Word feature here. And
we can include the feedback. Yeah, sure. For now, we'll do that.
We'll do that, yeah. And so basically what happens is We take a did I click OK? Yeah. We take a screenshot of all of the different screens that you have, all of the different states, the Sketchflow map. We incorporate any feedback that you've received, whether it be in text form or in annotations on the actual design surface. And so and we include that in a Word document to kickstart the process of documenting your prototype. And so here you have the document that gets created, and there's the Sketchflow map and and then I think the screens are a bit big, and so they kind of skip pages. There you go. And so you have all of the feedback that you've received. So here's the annotations that you saw, and here's the various the two different states. So here's a detailed state, and so, but yeah. So basically, there now you have this Word document that we've exported straight out of Sketchflow, and now you can begin the fun part of, creating specifications for your prototype.
Right. And again, it's a nice document history. I've used that as well when I've had a client who wanted to take that with them to somebody who didn't have a computer or they were somewhere else in a different meeting. So that was very helpful.
Yep.
This is all very good information. So Sketchflow is a product with the Expression Blend suite. And it's available now. So
you part of Expression 4. Yeah,
Expression Blend 4 suite. So we're all set to go, and if anybody has any questions, we'll send them directly to you, right?
Great, yeah, for sure.
Excellent. Hey, thanks for coming on.
Thank you.
Appreciate all the help. And thank you for watching Silver Lake TV.